Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. And as we continue into this week, as we continue operating our small businesses, as we continue doing this thing that we love so much, even on the bad days, right? Even when things are tough, even when things are not as rosy as we'd like for them to be, even when there's not enough cash, which happens quite often, doesn't it? We still love our small businesses, and there are days, you know, they're, like I said before, sometimes our businesses are like teenagers, you know. Some days you love them, some days you just want to pinch their heads off, right? But still, we come back, and that's because we love it. And somebody who knows all about that is Robert Kluger. Robert is an attorney. He is a certified tax law specialist. He's got a brand new book out called Asset Protection, which is published by Entrepreneur Magazine, and he's here to talk to us about how to protect your assets. Robert, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. As you know, my audience is small business owners, are made up of small business owners. Those who have been doing it for a long time, those who have been doing it for a little while, and those who want to be. And so there are a number of ways, when you're a small business owner, Robert, as you well know, as your book is all about, that the things that we own, the things that we've acquired, the things that we own, maybe with the bank, even, can become be put in jeopardy, and be at risk. And beyond just, you know, it's enough that our assets are at risk in the operation of our business, but there are other factors that put our assets at risk. And I want you to talk to us about some of those.
Well, that's very well stated. You know, one thing I point out in the book, Asset Protection, is that in the world of asset protection, one size does not fit all, that everyone's needs are different, whether you're a married person or a single person, whether you live in a separate property state or a community property state, whether your assets are mostly cash or mostly real estate, will determine what is best for you when it comes to protecting your assets. Everybody's different, okay? But generally speaking, you know, the dividing line is whether your assets is real estate or whether your assets is non-real estate. One of the best kept secrets I divulge in the book is that there's easy asset protection and there's difficult asset protection, and difficult asset protection is asset protection for real estate, and easy asset protection is asset protection for everything else.
The obvious reason is real
estate. Well, because real estate can't be moved, and everything else can be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can't move your real estate offshore, can you?
You can't move your real estate offshore, and you can move everything else offshore. So when it comes to your investment real estate, there are some strategies that we can employ. Probably the best is to tuck your real estate into some entity such as a limited liability company. And, of course, mm-hmm. every state now provides for a limited liability company.
Right.
And that really is the best way to hold investment real estate.
Tell us why a limited liability company is now more advantageous than an S-Corp. Explain why we prefer an LLC over an S-Corp for real estate.
There is a very definite reason. It's a little bit technical. But let us assume that a lawsuit arises that doesn't have anything to do with the operation of the real estate. Let's assume you get involved in a car accident or a business dispute or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a judgment against you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now the plaintiff, who is now the judgment creditor, tries to satisfy that judgment by going after your assets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you own the stock of a corporation, that share certificate is an asset that mm-hmm. the creditor can go after and can attach.
Right, as if it were cash or anything else.
As if it were cash or any other asset, they could get an execution, a turnover order, and get their hands on that stock certificate. But it is very different if the real estate is in a limited liability company. Number one, there is no stock certificate to go after. And most importantly, under the laws of most states, the ability of a creditor to go after the assets of a limited liability company are very limited. And in fact, you can't go after the assets of a limited liability company. You can't get inside that LLC.
Mm-hmm.
The best that a creditor can do under the laws of most states is to attach any distributions that may come out to the owner.
Future
they call a charging order.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very different than being able to get your hands on the whole enchilada.
Mm-hmm. And if you are not incorporated, and let's say you own that real estate with a partner, then the assets could be available to that lawsuit, to the judgment of that lawsuit, just like if it were just an individual, right?
Oh, it's worse than that. That is true, but it goes beyond that. If you are in a general partnership, every general partner in a general partnership is the agent of the partnership. So if you're the innocent partner and you have a partner that enters into contracts, that goes into default, signs loans for the partnership, does whatever for the partnership, you are as guilty, as liable for the debts of that partnership as your partner was.
But in the case of... But in
there's
the other
no way
case,
to insulate yourself from it.
Where the judgment was off the property, was somewhere else, and they come after you, your property, and they find that you're in a general partnership, then that makes that asset of that general partnership susceptible to this judgment, right?
Absolutely correct.
Yeah. The point I'm trying to make here, I want to make sure we make, Art, folks, now you understand why the LLCs were created. One of the main reasons LLCs were created so that you don't have to have that kind of exposure in a partnership.
That is exactly
correct.
Why
would anybody have a partnership these days when they can have an LLC?
The answer is there is no reason. I haven't drawn up a general partnership agreement in I don't know how many years, and it's malpractice to do so.
And let me tell you something, folks. The beauty of the LLC is that it's you're taxed as if you were a partnership. So you get those benefits, but you get the corporate veil protection like you would if you were a C-Corp. Stand by. Quick break. 20 after. Right back with Robert Kluger. His book is called Asset Protection. It's available wherever books are sold. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. We built them for you just so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. We're visiting with our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, Robert Kluger is our guest. K-L-U-E-G-E-R is how you spell his last name. His new book is called Asset Protection. It's part of the Legal Guide series by Entrepreneur Magazine. Protect your wealth, limit your exposure to lawsuits, maximize your tax savings. He's an expert in this area because he is a certified tax law specialist and an attorney, of course. Okay, Robert, let's talk about how small business owners sitting in their business, operating their business, minding their own business, behaving themselves, not doing anything wrong, not fulfilling their contracts, you know, being good little boys and girls, how can they be exposed to how can their assets be exposed just sitting there minding their own business?
Well, unfortunately, in the world that we live in, if you have any kind of wealth or perceived to have some wealth, you're sitting there with a target painted on you. And unfortunately, too often, frivolous lawsuits are brought against business owners in the hope that, you know, they'll be able to extract a few dollars, that the business owner will make a business decision to pay a few dollars rather than go through the expense of litigation.
That's called extortion.
We used to call that extortion, right? Now it's called frivolous litigation. But in many states, there is a way to avoid frivolous lawsuits from employees and former employees. You know, whether this is sexual harassment litigation, wage and hour litigation, or whatever.
Age discrimination, and whatever.
Yeah, and one of the ways to avoid that is to simply have the employees sign agreements that they will not litigate, that any dispute will be arbitrated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, arbitration is quicker and it's cheaper and you get to resolution faster, and the result of which no one could hold you up with the threat that you'll go through, you know, years of costly right. litigation.
So now, how do you handle that conversation with an employee?
Well, that's a conversation that is handled with a prospective employee before
right.
the employee is hired.
Right, right.
Right? It's a condition of employment. Now, the extent to which you can do that and what you have to write in varies from state to state. It is not uniform. It's based, the ability to avoid litigation through arbitration depends on state law. A second thing that every business owner should do is make sure that he or she has a well-written employee handbook, an employee manual that specifies what the rules in this company are. You'll never be accused of acquiescing in, you know, a hostile workplace environment or acquiescing in sexual harassment if the company has an employee handbook that says that this will not be tolerated, that there is a person that is appointed to handle all disputes, that there is a dispute mechanism, and it, that can be worth its weight in gold
This is how you get dismissed as a co-defendant, right? I mean, you're a co-defendant along with the person who actually did the sexual harassment, and so you as a company owner and your manager is in the lawsuit, and so you get, if you can bring your policy manual in, and you can demonstrate that everybody signed this, and even though George, you know, signed that he knew that he wasn't supposed to harass anybody, apparently he did it anyway, but he knew that we didn't condone that kind of behavior. Here's our document. Isn't that how the court says, okay, you're no longer a co-defendant?
That is exactly correct. And nobody's interested in suing, you know, the guy on the shop floor who actually may have done the harassment because he doesn't have the deep pocket.
Right.
Right? You want to make sure that the deep pocket is eliminated from that lawsuit.
Right.
You know, and that's how you do it.
Now, as far as the employees concerned, when you, as a term of employment, the mediation thing, I mean, it seems
to me... The arbitration thing.
I mean, arbitration. It seems to me that what you could say is, all right, look, we're going to assume that if we ever have a disagreement, that your goal is going to be just to get some kind of a settlement for that, not to take our company down. And so, if that's the case, then arbitration is the best method, and we want you to sign and agree that that's the way you'll go. Is that a good way to say that?
That's exactly right, and that's in a condition of employment that people should be made aware of, that they should have to acquiesce to.
It's like a prenup agreement, isn't it?
Well, it is sort of a prenuptial agreement in that both are signed before the relationship is entered into,
right?
And it minimizes the risk during the relationship. It is analogous to a prenuptial agreement.
Mm-hmm. Robert, give us the website. Tell us how we can find your book.
You could find the book on www.maximumassetprotection.com, and there's a link on the site to the book, Asset Protection. And if you don't mind me flogging the book for a minute, along with the book, there's a video, a one-hour seminar on limited liability companies.
All right, and the CD in the back of the book too, right? Comes with that.
That's the video.
The video in the back of the book.
It's a one-hour video of me.
And it's all part of the book, folks. You get it with the book, so check that
correct.
Out. And also available wherever books are sold, right?
I'm told it's available wherever fine bookstores are sold. I'm not sure.
Thank you, Robert. Robert Kluger, ladies and gentlemen.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.